League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. Lovely to have you on board. My name is Marcus. Sarah's here.
I certainly am.
Chris is here.
I am.
And that's the three. That's the thrilling three.
The magic number.
Exactly. Now, this week in the United Kingdom, the film Joker will be released. Many are looking forward to seeing it, after rave reviews, of course, from some of the critics, but many are concerned by the negative impact it could have on certain individuals. Violence, when depicted in perhaps more realistic ways in film or on TV, has caused controversy for many, many years, of course. So then, my good people, does violence on screen concern you?
I think it does in the long run. I'm not sure an individual film in and of itself will cause things
right
to change within people, but I think there is something about around desensitization. If we are constantly bombarded by images, mm-hmm, then that is a concern for me.
Yes. Would you agree with that, Sarah?
Yeah, I think that's the point. Like, there's a bit of a trend for kind of, I've heard it described as almost torture porn. Yeah. And is that, you know, there's some horrific films like Human Centipede and all that kind of horror.
The name of that film yeah, is, I thought, I will never watch that, ever.
There's an excellent episode of South Park where they create a human centipad.
That's nice.
So the front of it is an iPad and they're like, nobody ever checks the iTunes box. Like, or, you know, you have to tick it. You sell your soul to Apple.
That's good.
You need
good
to watch it. It's brilliant. Yeah. Sorry, Karen. Sorry.
There is very much a genre of this kind of horror film.
Yeah.
And it's almost like each one tries to outdo, and they get worse and worse and worse, and more and more graphic.
Mm.
And you know, a lot of the time, I just don't think you need to show the really horrific things on screen. Like, actually, some of the, like, the worst, scariest things. Like, I know a lot of people say one of the scariest ones they've seen is Silence of the Lambs.
Mm.
Things like that. Like, it's about the suspense and the,
sure,
like, the horror doesn't have to be, mm-hmm, literally watching someone's face get peeled off or whatever the horrific scene is.
Well, the Blair Witch Project was all based on that, wasn't it? You didn't,
yeah,
see anything in the first film. It was all on tension and,
yeah,
music, mm, and love music in films.
Well, what's his name? He did Psycho. Oh, I forget now, very famous.
Hitchcock.
Yes. There you go. As you said that, I thought to myself, how did, yeah, that one slip my mind?
Yeah.
You know, as you say, you often wouldn't see what was, yeah, going on. It was about the suspense. But the Joker, of course, is it wouldn't be classified, I don't think, as a horror film.
No.
But it has caused a lot of controversy, and it's divided people, and most of whom probably haven't even seen the thing yet.
Yeah.
To the point of, though, the survivors of that awful tragedy in Colorado, of course, many people remember that fairly recently. They wrote a joint letter to Warner Brothers urging them to consider the safety of their audiences. The US military has issued a warning to troops about possible emergencies.
Wow.
So this film, as I say, incredibly divisive. And in this country, it's out this week. I'm not sure if the date corresponds in the States or not, but
sure,
a lot of people still haven't seen it.
No.
But it's incredible. Some people have said that the negative press around the Joaquin Phoenix's Joker will impact the box office. However, there's a chap who's a box office analyst.
We got there in the end.
I think so,
analyst.
Yeah. Yeah. Analyst is the word.
Analyst.
Yeah, an analyst, the analyst. And
Alan.
He loves analysing things, this bloke, I tell you. And he believes that the influx of all these pieces surrounding the film, both good and bad, only increase awareness.
Yeah.
Which does make you think, is it counteractive to go on about or counterproductive?
I mean, I was thinking about this on the way over, and how when I was younger, you wouldn't want to, but you couldn't watch a real killing. Were they snuff films or something like that? They were highly illegal. But actually now they're all over the internet. You see, and unfortunately it's horrible, but you can see it on social media, you know, someone being killed or whatever. And
it's
a bit like, I feel like we have become massively desensitized. And you could say it's good because it needs to raise awareness, especially when it comes to things like, you know, police brutality, that's often the one that you'll see is someone getting shot or killed and stuff. So there is something around raising awareness of it, but I don't know, it's really weird how within 30 years, like, it's gone from being that's totally legal, you can't watch it, to this is just everywhere now. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's... But a raising awareness for police brutality is not somebody constructing a film and think, you know, audiences and let's put this on the silver screen.
Mm.
That's more of a news piece.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you couldn't have watched it before, but now you can. We're desensitized to violence on screen as such. And it's like, I mean, rightly or wrongly, I don't know, but it's really interesting how far we've come in such a short space of time.
Yeah.
Mm. As where, you know, we used to think, you know, everything. Was it Mary Whitehouse? She was very popular back in the day, making sure that things were censored and things like that. As where I feel like that discussion isn't had anymore.
Do we need a Mary Whitehouse? A modern day Mary.
Could be. Mary Berry could do it, maybe. She's lovely.
I mean, she's got enough on.
That's love
a bit
that.
Informal.
Yeah. Love Mary.
Yeah. I mean, the one of the things about the Joker film as well, I mean, look, none of us have seen it, of course. It's, no. At the time of recording, it's not out yet.
Do you think any of you will see it?
Oh, definitely. I'm really looking forward
to
seeing it. Yeah.
It doesn't appeal to me at all.
Really?
No.
Yeah, I saw that and I thought, yeah, I fancy a bit of that.
But you, because of the trailers and you've heard that
because
it's
Because of
good.
The gore. Yeah. No, because... It's because I think it looks a really good film. I think Joaquin Phoenix is excellent.
Mm. Yeah,
and also that character.
Yeah,
I think because Heath Ledger, obviously we know what happened there, but he did it so well in the previous Batman. I think it'll be a very clever film and it'll be quite entertaining.
Are you into superhero films anyway?
Or is this not a superhero film.
That's what I mean. Is it a standalone thing for you? You're not like, I love DC and I love Marvel.
No.
This is very much like, I'm really interested in this film and this character and this actor.
Absolutely, yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
I think I would see it.
Yeah, well,
maybe because the reviews are that he's brilliant.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Joker's a character we've known for years, of course, and a character that you know, when people play, you know, Jack Nicholson, of course, has warned people and said, you know, when I played that character, I went to very dark places. And
well, didn't he say he warned Heath Ledger?
Yeah,
he said it will mess with you.
Yeah,
well, I think Joaquin Phoenix has come out and said that it has affected him.
Of course, yeah. Well, but it's interesting because. Obviously, he's playing a deranged killer. People worried that it could inspire people to do things. I mean, Telegraph critic Robbie Collin tweeted, "Here is my opinion of Joker. I think it's a very good film, and I'm worried someone's going to get killed."
Wow.
Now, that is quite bold. That's a very bold statement indeed. Joaquin Phoenix walked out of an interview when asked about this. Now, he did eventually return to finish the interview. And I do think that's a touch unfair on the actor.
It is a bit, but also, you know,
with the director,
you're choosing to take on that role.
You think?
And you're bringing.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, your job as an actress is to portray that character in the most realistic way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I think he's got some things. No, I'm
There's
not saying
an ounce
that, you
of
know,
responsibility.
He has to. I think if somebody, obviously, absolutely, God forbid, but if something does happen, I don't think, you know, you can say, well, Joaquin Phoenix is to blame at all.
No, not at all, yeah.
But. I do think it's perfectly reasonable to ask him questions.
Okay. What do you think, Chris? Do you think?
About
Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, well, okay. Todd Phillips, sorry, the director of the film, said that nobody worries, because he was getting a bit annoyed, I think, after a number of interviews, as you could imagine. Whichever side of the fence you fall on or fall down on, you can appreciate it would be a bit annoying if you're trying to sell the film and so on. But perhaps people think it's worth getting under the skin of a director of such a film. But he said nobody worries about a film like John Wick. Now, I don't know if anyone's seen John Wick, Keanu Reeves' film, it's a complete shoot 'em up. I mean, it's a glorified computer game, really, to be perfectly honest with you. But he said where a man kills about 300 people and the audiences are cheering him on. But as one journalist pointed out, though, John Wick is not seen as someone the audience can or would relate to and isn't representing a disaffected group or an individual in society. It is very,
really
very different.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I mean, a word that I've just become aware of in the last sort of few days or week or whatever is incel, which is a portmanteau of involuntary celibates. Mm. And this is what people are worried about with the Joker. According to Wikipedia, they are members of an online subculture who define themselves as unable to find a romantic or sexual partner despite desiring one. I mean, it goes quite deep. You know, at least four mass murders have been committed in North America by men who either self-identified as incels or had mentioned incel-related names and writings in their private writings or internet postings. So there's a lot of scrutiny on that sort of, if you can call it a community, and people are worried about the Joker film inspiring potentially.
Yeah.
And I think that's my thinking around this is that the film itself, or a film in itself, and I remember when, you know, Clockwork Orange was banned, wasn't it? And then it was unbanned and things like that. And, you know, the film is the same film as it always was. Mm. But it I don't know if it's likely to incite violence, mm-hmm. but it may give ideas to people who are violent. But they are there. It's already brewing within them. It's not necessarily something that they, one person's not going to watch that film and all of a sudden turn around and be mental.
Yep.
But I think it will maybe give ideas to people. But then, to be honest, and this isn't an excuse, but there's so much out there anyway and now anyway. You know, I don't know if the film is going to actually make any difference. But I think this is where if you hone in on one thing, if you look at the wood and not the trees, then you are going to find problems. Mm. But I think we need to maybe pull back a bit and look at the whole scope of what we're consuming and what goes in. And I don't know where it's from. There's some quote, it's probably a scripture or something I should know, but like, you know, like the eyes of the window,
probably the scripture.
Yeah. I'll get told off next week at school, but like the eyes are the windows to the soul or, you know, that sort of thing. Like what we let in our eyes, we know these things affect us. That's why billions are spent on marketing and advertising, isn't it? Like we know that whatever we consume will affect our behaviors. And I don't know if the one-off film itself is part of that. Well, no, it is part of that. It's part of the bigger picture. Mm. But I don't think in and of itself it won't do anything. And we may hear, and, you know, Lord, I pray it doesn't ever happen, but there's something happens. Yeah. I hope no one is inspired by this. But if that happens, I don't think you can turn around and blame the filmmaker and the actor. I think, as I said, these guys are already disaffected. They're already angry. They're already looking to do something bad. So
I think I definitely agree. And, you know, I have mixed feelings about this. You know, I'm a bit concerned about it. But firstly, kind of like you said, Chris, I think if someone wants to kill people,
mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to watch this and go, yeah, that's how I'm going to do it.
Yeah, that you've convinced me now.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I think, like you said, it may inspire them, may give them ideas. But I think we have this problem where we like to find something to blame, something to pin the blame on, just that one thing. Mm-hmm. So to be able to say, you know, because there was all the things about, you know, remember Marilyn Manson, all this kind of, you know, there's always some sort of moral panic.
It's a very Western sort of reactionary kind of response.
But
let's not go for the root, because that'll take ages and a lot of hard work.
Well,
let's try and find this magic pill.
We don't like to look at the root causes. And the thing is, like, these people, if it's incels, you know, I think there's a lot of terrifying ideas and things going on there, but these are people who are disaffected, isolated, they feel like they're worthless.
Yeah,
that's the root cause. I then also think especially if we're going to look in at the US, you wouldn't be able to go on a mass shooting if you couldn't access a gun.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously another different issue, but there are lots of different things going on, and we love to squarely, pin it on it's video games, it's the Joker film, it's this, and I just think that's very simplistic.
Then you don't have to change policy; you can just blame the film.
Exactly.
You know, so you know whatever the policy is and things like that. Cigarettes. You know, it's kind of like, oh, they kill people, but you know, we like making the tax off of it, so let's not ban that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's funny you say some of the stuff you were saying there, because as I like to often bring to the table, a study.
Oh, you love a study.
And never my own, of course, for obvious
reasons.
When are you
studying your own studies?
Well, a study of people watching violent films, I feel, might be a little bit a bridge too far for me. It may be football, something like that, perhaps, but we'll see. But loads of studies say that watching violent films really does make people more aggressive, but only if they have an abrasive personality to start with, as study has suggested. Dr. Alia Klein said, our aim was to investigate what is going on in the brains of people when they watch violent movies. We hypothesized if people have aggressive traits to begin with, they will process violent media in a very different way as compared to non-aggressive people, a theory supported by these findings.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean,
is it petrol going, or gas for our American listeners, going on a fire, is it making it worse?
Yes.
Or the fire's already there, but it, you know, is it inflaming it?
I think one of the problems is when it was the Oscars recently, when they were saying that there wasn't much representation going on.
Yeah.
And somebody, obviously a more of a satirical voice, came through, because these are fair points people make, of course. And someone said, well, if you're looking for Hollywood, if you're looking to Hollywood for your morals and all this, that and the other, then you're already onto a loser. And you sort of think to yourself, you know, I mean, it's a fair point. But I mean, it's funny you say about, you mentioned Clockwork Orange earlier, Chris, because in 1972, two murders were linked to the release of Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange, but the evidence seemed pretty thin, to be fair. And the director, he did withdraw the film, but he always suggested that the evidence linking the film to the murders was very weak. And he said, to try and fasten any responsibility on art as the cause of life seems to me to put the case the wrong way around. Art consists of reshaping life, but it does not create life nor cause life. And I thought it was a very fair point.
Yeah. But I guess with this type of film where there's this psychological edge to it, like, you know, bringing it back to what you're saying, you're not going to go and watch John Rambo, the ninth one that's just come out, and then someone's going to go on a spree, because it's just, it is mindless.
Yes.
But where it's a well-made film and it does delve into the psyche, then that is more of the concern, I guess, that, you know, it will give, it will help people who are damaged in their psyche already, some sort of connection or with the character.
Identify.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that would be the major concern. But yeah, I mean, it's...
I do kind of think that on the whole, most people watching a film where someone goes out and shoots a load of people or does whatever terrible thing, you know it's wrong. You're watching it and you know, like, I'm not watching, you know, something about a serial killer and thinking, oh, that's a great idea.
Sure, but I mean, but
I know that's, sorry, that is simplifying it, but I just think at a base level, like, most people know that what I'm seeing on a screen is art, it is escapism, or it isn't, it's not real, and you can make that
should you open up avenues then? So yes, most people know this, most people, but they're not really sort of talking about most people. There are certain things. So should we be doing things that could encourage, you know, more isolated people in society, blah 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 blah. But then my sort of counter question to that would be, should making a film, should you really have nutters in mind when writing a film?
I mean, I'm guessing they didn't. I'm guessing that when they're writing the films, that they're just writing a film and then they're telling the story very well. And then it's afterwards, potentially there's the connections. Because if it's just not in your mind, you're just not aware of what you're doing often until you've done it as such.
Yeah, but to widen it to TV, so like, or anything on screen, you want something to be as realistic as possible. So take something like The Wire.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sure a lot of people have seen The Wire.
Fantastic show.
It was magnificent. So Sarah hasn't seen it.
I think we said last time, I've never seen anything.
Oh, okay. I would argue I've learned more about culture and the workings or non-workings of society by watching those five seasons of The Wire.
I'd agree. I think I have done
many things, because you're like, why doesn't things change? And then you start to go, oh, because that's connected to that, and you know that's then connected to politics, and that's connected to education, and the media comes in there, and you're like, that is a brilliant portrayal of why society doesn't move on.
But do you worry then when you watch sort of certain things and you think, does that glorify gangs or being in gangs? Because that makes me sound a bit like a Daily Mail reader, I appreciate. But I'm just asking the question. Yeah.
I don't know if it... Yeah, I guess, and that is the question. If it glorifies the lifestyle of it, then yeah. But a lot of these things, we talked about it before we came on air, about these, you know, these films about drugs. So we were talking about Homemade, the new one with Tom Cruise. American Made, about drug smuggling and that sort of stuff. But, you know, normally with these films, they get a comeuppance of some sort. They lose it all, they lose all their thing, and it all goes to pot. So I don't know if you could necessarily say it glorifies it.
True, but then...
But for me, I really, really, really enjoyed the first four seasons of Peaky Blinders.
Right.
And it is quite violent.
I have seen that.
But I haven't watched the fifth season because I heard it was really violent. And I had to have a check in myself, like, how do I feel after I watch it? Well, I usually am like, I need to watch something else, like Friends, just to pop myself back up again. Or something, or like, you know,
you do
something
nice. You have to have a detox program.
I need to watch Rainbow here for crying out loud.
I feel really tense. Yeah. My heart's still going, like, I can't go to bed like this. Like, so I'd have to watch something else. I'm like, why am I doing that to myself? Yeah. Like, and actually... Yeah, I mean, I think, Peaky Blinders is brilliant.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. I would say that because it is horribly... Some of that is horrific, watching people get beaten to a pulp.
Oh, this last season?
No. Previously, I haven't watched
it. Or in any kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But some... Like, I think that program does slightly glorify it.
I
think my problem is, I don't think we can ban everything that glorifies a negative behavior. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think...
Well, because there are other behaviors that are glorified, you know, drug taking, you'd say.
Yeah.
Or committing white collar crime, you know, often yeah. that's overlooked. Yeah. Fiddling the books yeah. or...
You know, like a... Well, Speaking Wolf Blindness of Wall Street.
Yeah, exactly.
That
yeah. kind bloody
of
hell, yeah.
Like, that's glorifying. And again, yeah, there's comeuppances.
But although he's now doing loads of tours, that guy, Jordan.
Yeah, he's done well out of it now, is, I think. You know.
I think it's a moniker you've given it.
We should all get on board with that one.
Yeah, no, I just think, I don't really know... Like I said, I'm not defending Joker, but I'm also... When we start censoring things is when, really, I start getting a bit uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, this is when people say, oh, I'm a bit concerned or whatever... Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, this is the problem.
That is the problem. See, one of the shows I quite like is Gomorrah, which is Italian, you know, Neapolitan, real gritty.
What's that one on? Is that four?
I forget now.
It's probably right.
Sky Atlantic, I think.
And someone wants to send Chris their password.
Of course, it should be Sky Mediterranean, shouldn't it?
Very good.
But what I really like about Gomorrah is it. He's so bleak. Like, it just cannot glorify it. I mean, I'm sure people can take what they want.
Yeah.
There are no sort of good guys. There may be one or two people you sort of start cheering for, and then you go, oh my goodness, he's just done that to that child, yeah. or whatever. So it's so bleak. So it actually, its brilliance is, at every given opportunity, is this is awful. This is rubbish. You do not want this.
And yet you carry on watching it.
Well, do you know what? I put it down for a bit.
Yeah.
Because it really, I can't watch more than one in a row because it makes me feel groggy.
Yeah.
Mm. It
but
really
there's
does.
Something in there.
I have to get myself down to Sesame Street.
Is it a sense that you want to see justice or, I don't know, you want it to somehow get better? I don't know.
But as Sarah says, I think there's real art in what it is. It's a fantastically made television series.
Did you guys do Breaking Bad?
Oh, no, I had to stop watching it.
Did you?
Because it just got too great. Yeah, like, I'm not even sure I finished the first series.
Really?
Like, you know. He's got, like, this isn't a spoiler, but like, he's got cancer and what's the wife doing and the police. And it was too much.
That's another too one much. Of those where by the end of it, you're like, every single character has basically done something bad here.
Yeah.
But I find it really weird and I enjoyed, and I know we now know Kevin Spacey.
Yes.
Getting his comeuppance. But, you know, House of Cards to start with, first few seasons were like, this is fantastic, and he's such a dark character. Mm. But there's a bit of you that kind of wants them to succeed.
Sure, is there much violence in it, though?
The opening scene, I think he strangles a dog. So there is that, and there's
a big, dog.
Yeah,
oh.
Like, do you know what I mean? It's dark.
Awful business.
It's dark, and you know, it pushes someone in front of a train. There is violence. It's not gratuitous.
Sure.
But there is this kind of darkness to it, which is also strangely compelling that you do want to.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I want them to get their comeuppance or
I know what you mean.
Or I want them to get away with it. I actually don't know.
I think it's almost like freak show curiosity because it's showing you something, whether it be trying to represent a section of society like in Gomorrah, something like that, or maybe even The Wire, you could argue, or a lifestyle, whatever it may be, or a story that is totally foreign to you.
Yeah.
Hopefully foreign to you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's the aim.
Yeah. I think one of my big things that really bothers me about when we're having this discussion about violence on screen is, I would say 90% of the time, perhaps even more, it's a man committing the violence, very often to a woman. Yeah. Obviously both, but I think it's predominantly seen as this male thing.
And I don't know. It would be more male on male violence.
There is a lot of that, but as in, like, you very rarely see, not very rarely, but you know what I mean? Like, as in, I think it is much more male violence. And a lot of the time women are kind of treated, especially if there's, you know, things like rape and that kind of thing, and murder. And women, there's no voice. It's like a lot of women are just beautiful bodies on a slab to have men talk about them and men kind of deal with it. And for me, there's just something about that which... It makes it worse.
Watch season 3 or 4 of Gomorrah. Is what I'd say to that.
Have you noticed any difference over the last 18 months in TV programming with that sort of stuff? Oh, since, like, say 18 months, 24 months, like the whole Me Too movement and the rise of this sort of exposure of the way women have been treated in Hollywood in itself and portrayed in Hollywood.
Again, I would say, I would caveat that with, I don't watch a lot of things like
TV. You're the worst person to ask.
But there's a new series which I haven't watched yet. I think it's on Netflix. The name has literally gone out of my mind, but it's about women who've been raped. It's two different scenarios, and one is basically police who handle it horrendously and one where they actually handle it really very well. And it was saying for the first, I think I read a review of it, and they were saying for the first time, you know, we're seeing women involved in all of this rather than just having the violence done to them and then they're voiceless. They're part of it now, and that kind of, and this was kind of being heralded as a bit of a turning point and kind of born out of the Me Too movement, which I thought that was really good to hear. And I'll definitely watch it. It sounds like it's a very difficult watch, but definitely is worth a watch.
I am interested in all these things now. I was just seeing actually, because it's such a big thing, the Me Too movement, but actually how much effect are we seeing, or, you know, will it just, you know, get brushed under the carpet by white powerful men again?
Does lip service get paid
exactly?
And then are we actually going to change?
Because it does feel like a monumental moment in history, the way it's all kind of come into a head and that. But you obviously want it to play out as well, instead of just being like, oh, remember that thing that happened a couple of years ago. So
yeah, one of the things that researching this a bit was so many studies saying that kids are affected so much at what they see.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I could find that, one study that suggested otherwise. So you know, people saying mind what you let your kids watch and all that sort of stuff. But this was quite interesting from a study from the professor of communication and psychology at Ohio State University, found in 2013 that there were benefits of children consuming non-violent media. So the study showed that the pro-social and educational screen time enhanced social and emotional behaviour in children. I love the fact that you can you can have a bit of the positive in there as well. Yeah. I know it sounds stupid because you only hear of the negative. Yeah. So you think, oh, well, if we just watch negative stuff, otherwise it's all normal. It's like, no, actually, you can get them on happy days.
Well, I think it was it the 70s, where is it the Bobo doll experiment, where they would have kids in a room and there'd be a big doll, and then they watched people beat up the doll or hit it, and then they had other kids who didn't. And obviously the ones who did view the violence towards this doll repeated the violence. And you know, unfortunately, this is a horrible thing that children who witness domestic violence then themselves have their ongoing issues with dealing with that as well. But yeah, I mean, we know that whatever we consume affects us. I mean, I was thinking about earlier how can I sound intelligent on the podcast for once instead of talking about
poo. You're doing yourself
so I was remembering actually how, like, the whole in ancient Greek time, the power of rhetoric, that was what men were deemed if they were successful, because of their power of being able to tell a story, telling the rhetoric. And that, the whole point in that is influence. It's actually, if I can tell a story and it influence people. So we've always known that actually we can influence people by what we see, what we hear, by what we read, and, you know, that sort of stuff. So it does affect everything, what we see. I don't know if we can hone in on one show or one TV or one movie. For me, it's the bigger picture. I think we do need to readdress that.
Sure.
Whether we can do that with the internet is just a no. I don't know.
We can give it a go.
I mean, I don't know. You'd have to nuke the whole thing. I don't.
Switch it off. Switch it off and switch it off.
A friend of mine actually knows a lot about AI, and he was like, can you imagine if AI gets into the internet? I mean, this is probably another show as well. Like,
blimey. It might be another host for that show. But I do think as well, kind of what we're consuming, and especially it made me think about when we talk about children, it's putting it in context, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, if you're watching something, it's then putting it in the context of, and that's terrible, and this person shouldn't have done this. And, you know, if for some reason your kid gets their hands on some violent film, you then you have to talk to them, don't you? And I think we all need that. A bit of that is just, you know, we're not just, kind of like you were saying, watching horrible thing after horrible thing after horrible thing. We need some more context, and we need some more framing of it.
Yeah. And like you were saying earlier about the kind of the problem with the incels is that these people are isolated, and actually you can't process on your own. It's just you can't do it. We need to be in, you know, loving communities and families and friendship groups and stuff like that to be able to process through what we, I guess, what we actually think is right and wrong.
Finish on this is from an article in the Irish Times, and it respected the points that people say, their concerns and so on, but it sort of largely dismissed the impact of violence on screen and said, in 20 years, nobody will be demanding suppression of the film Joker. Controversies gathered around Taxi Driver, A Clockwork Orange and The Exorcist, all were more extreme than Joker, all became ornaments of their eras.
Interesting.
And
became iconic films as well.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So does it concern us? A little, but not hugely.
A bit, but it's more complicated than
absolutely
ban it.
Well, I for one am looking forward to seeing the film. And of course, at the time of recordings, we should stress that nothing has happened, by the way.
Yes, and we haven't seen it.
And we certainly hope not. There we are. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks, Marcus.
Well done, Chris.
Thank you.
If you want to get in touch, of course, the email address is show@aqqapod.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram at aqqapod. If you want to leave us a lovely little review on iTunes, then please do so. We'll see you next week, gang.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.